You don't have to be a plumber to investigate the paranormal. Everyone is welcome to the Para-X Radio Network. Tune in 7 days a week for great shows and special live events. 24 hours a day, Para-X is the place for paranormal talk. So whether you're a plumber or just another axe-throwing dragon, Para-X is your source for everything paranormal.
Stick around, all you chatter chicks, because Ghost Chatter is about to start.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The goal of a man is to make his voice heard during their lives. Only in death can a man's voice be truly silenced. Or is it? There exists a place we go when we leave this earth. A place where our voice can never be silenced. The place exists in the paranormal universe, and it remains separated from the reality of the living. But sometimes, the will of the living and the deceased is so strong that it breaks through the barriers that divides the two realities. The voices of the departed are heard once again. We call this Ghost Chatter.
Ghost Chatter.
Jimmy Morris.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Ghost Chatter here on the Para-X Radio Network. We'd like to thank you all for tuning in today. A reminder for you guys who have internet access, come on over to our interactive chat room at www.para-x.com. Once there, click on the live chat button and come on into our interactive chat room. There you can interact with us here on the show, as well as meet some great people who are just here to hang out with us tonight and have some fun. Want to get right into our guest tonight. Tonight we have the honor of having an internationally acclaimed psychic with us today. She has given readings all over the world to literally tens of thousands of clients, including many celebrities, which has earned her the title of Psychic to the Rich and Famous. She is the author of a new book, Cosmic Conspiracy, so let's welcome to the show, Patricia McLean. Welcome to Ghost Chatter, Patricia.
Hi, Jimmy. I'm glad to be here. How nice of you to invite me.
Oh, it is an honor to have you here on the show. I was glad I was able to connect with you and get you on here with us today.
Well, I was glad, too.
I wanted to start out by giving you the opportunity to let everyone who's listening here tonight know a little bit more about you and what it is that you do.
Okay, well, I've actually been giving readings since 1966, probably since before a lot of your listeners were born, you know. But I didn't really plan on being a psychic. I wrote plays when I was very young that were published when I was 19 and 24, comedies, romantic comedies. And I sort of planned on being a writer. I didn't plan on being a psychic. And when I went to my horoscope was drawn in my baby book by a nurse in the hospital, which was those early divine coincidences arranged by the Lords of Karma, you know, and when I moved to, after a divorce, I moved into a small apartment in Burbank with my two children. The landlord had been, the stage was set for my destiny to unfold because the landlady had been to an astrologer, and I was always curious what that circle with all those scribbles meant in my baby book, and she had also been to a psychic. And when I went to the astrologer, she told me I had the chart of a writer, which really thrilled me because, you know, I was already doing a lot of writing a lot of plays. And then I decided to go to the psychic in Venice Beach. His name was George Darius, and it was my first experience with a psychic. He was an old guy, and he had teeth that didn't fit when he talked, like you see in the movies sometimes. And I thought he was going to tell me I was going to be a famous writer. But I walked into his place in Venice Beach, and he said, oh, you're going to be a famous psychic. You're going to travel the world and read for the rich and the famous, which is the basis of my rich and famous subtitle, Psychic to the Rich and Famous. That's what George said. He said, you're going to be on radio and television, newspapers and magazines. You're going to fly all over the world. I see you in Paris, and I see you in London and Hong Kong and Singapore. And I frankly thought the man was crackers. I really thought he'd lost it, you know. And I didn't even, that was 1964, and I didn't even try to give a reading for 2 years.
And what made you make that switch? I mean, like you said, before then, you had never even crossed your mind. Now,
well, I had, when I looked back, you know, I mean, when I was a little girl, very little girl, first 7 years of my life, we lived in Kansas City, and I saw the nature spirits, you know, and my mother said I was seeing fireflies. You know, do you have fireflies in Texas?
We do.
You do?
We
do. I know when my son came to Virginia one summer years ago, and I had watered my garden, you know, the water mm-hmm. brings them out, and the fireflies were blinking off and on all over the backyard. Mark said, oh, lightning bugs, have you ever seen them before? You know. But when I was little, my mother said, oh, you're just seeing, you know, the fireflies, you're just seeing lightning bugs. And I didn't. I saw like Tinkerbells and little beings flying around, you know. But children 7 and under are very open to the inner planes. They have invisible friends. They
exactly.
see angels. They see spirits. They see the creatures on the astral plane. And little kids are very open to that. And then when I look back, I had an aunt who was a spiritualist. And my mother used to go see Aunt Sade in Venice Beach. And we'd sit around this big oak table. Now, this is getting into your neighborhood here. And the spirits would come. And my mother was always, my grandmother died when I was 5. She had a heart attack and died when I was 5. She was only in her, like, 59 years old. And so my mother was always trying to talk to her mother, who was on the other side, which is very popular back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And so this big old table, there's all this knocking, and it used to rise up. It's a huge table, and it used to rise up off the floor. And I thought it was great fun. I was about 9. And evidently, Uncle Harry was dead. He was on the other side. And Aunt Sade said he was always hanging around, flickering lights, opening doors, slamming windows shut, you know, making noises. And I said, well, is he here now? And she said, yeah, he's sitting in the rocking chair in the living room. So I started staring at that rocking chair. And I started concentrating for all I was worth. And I began to see the ghostly image of a man in the chair. And all at once, the chair started rocking back and forth. Which surprised my mother and my aunt, but it didn't surprise me because I knew that guy was sitting there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when I look back to my childhood, I realized that, you know, and when I told Aunt Sade that I saw him, she said to my mother, she's going to be a medium when she grows up. And that day, my mother was so upset with whatever my grandma had told her from the other side. But she didn't want to explain to me what a medium was. I didn't know what a medium was. I was 9 years old, you know, and I had no idea what a medium was. But I've had, you know, if you have a chance to read the book, I've had a lot of really wonderful experiences. I think the powers that be kind of roped me in. Have you ever worked with a trance medium?
Yes, I have.
Okay, well, before I started doing readings, I was so fascinated by this astrologer. Her name is Franca Moore. She's on the other side now. But I was dragging all my friends to see her, to have their charts done, and I talked her into letting me sit in on the readings, and I was just amazed how what she said about people I knew when I knew what had gone on in their lives. And she told me about this little church. It was like a storefront in a strip mall that was kind of an old dilapidated strip mall. Remember, you've probably seen those in Texas.
Yep, we've got plenty of them everywhere.
I mean, it had boarded windows in some of the places, and there was a pizza parlor. And this little couple, they were just charming. I was only in my 20s. The Reverend Plume was a British, he was from London, and he was a spiritualist in the old tradition, which I'm sure you know all about. And he used to give messages on his own to the, they called it a church, and they had an organ in there, and they had pictures of Jesus and pictures of the ascended masters. And, you know, it was kind of a strange experience to me at the time. But he also channeled different entities. And one of the entities he channeled was a fishmonger named George, who, that's a funny story, because George lived in a boarding house in London, and he peddled fish on the streets of London, you know. And every night he would go to his pub after he worked, and he'd have a pint. And one night he went to his pub, and the bartender ignored him. And he'd been going to the same pub for 30 years, so he was really upset that the bartender ignored him. So George went to other bars, and the same, he thought, okay, I'm taking my business elsewhere, that's it. And he's cussing the guy out and telling him, and he goes to another pub, and he's ignored. So he's out on the street, and this Catholic priest comes up to him, and he says, George, you're dead. They can't hear you. And George thought the priest had lost it. And he took George back to the boarding house, and there George was sitting in a chair by the fire, dead as one of those mackerels he'd peddled on the streets of London, you know. And so, I mean, I loved the George, that character, and he also... But one of the other things that got me, got my full attention with the Reverend Plume is he channeled a 2,000-year-old Chinese doctor. Now, I wish I could find someone like this now, who, when the Reverend took on the Chinese doctor, his features changed, his whole body assumed, you know. Well, you've seen transmediums,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have.
And they just become that soul that's taken over their body. And I had a kidney condition. And so when this Dr. Yu, or whatever his name was, came through, he would perform healings on people. And one night my friends knew I had this problem, and I had to go to doctors all the time, and they said, why don't you go sit in a chair for some healing? So I did, reluctantly. He told me about my two children, and he looked at my body, and he said, you should have come to me a long time ago, and you wouldn't have had to have these surgeries. And they always felt like surgeries to me, because I had to run wires through the bladder and up the ureters, and it was really painful. And so he put his hands on me, and heat coursed through my body. And then after a while, he had these women that worked with him in healing. And one woman came over and put her arms across the front of my abdomen, and the other one across my lower back, and I felt all this heat going through me. And afterwards, the doctor said, well, you go back to your doctor, he said, but you're not going to need those treatments anymore. And I thought, you know, I put $5 in the collection plate. And in about, my urologist retired, and I had to go to a new doctor in Hollywood. I was living in California then. And So the doctor, I used to have yearly kidney x-rays. So I went in, had my x-rays, and the doctor had my old x-rays because he'd taken over this other doctor's practice or patient. And when he came out, because he said, I don't see what's the matter. He said, your urinary tract is perfectly normal.
Wow.
And I had been going to this doctor for 4 or 5 years. So for a $5 donation, I got healed, and that kind of got my attention.
I would imagine so. As a matter of fact,
I wish I could find a trans medium who has that Chinese doctor working for him now, because I have a lot of people I could send to him, you know.
Yeah, and you know, one thing you mentioned with trans mediums, and for anyone listening out there who is either one or has worked with one, you know, as with any, we'll just call it a profession for this conversation right here. But, you know, with anything, you know, you've always got, you know, the people in there who pretend to be something that they're not. And
oh, this guy was genuine.
Yeah. One thing you had mentioned that really hit it right on with trans mediums, and that is, you know, a true trans medium, whenever they make contact, you know, you actually see physical differences. I mean, like, you're... The cheeks.
I mean, he was a little white-haired Englishman, but he actually began to look like an Asian.
Yes,
you know?
I mean, skin color changes, tones.
Yeah, everything. It's amazing.
You'll puff out or shrink in, you know, to more match the person that, you know, that medium is making contact with, and you know, that's something to look for especially any groups out there who use trans mediums. You know, that's a clear sign that you've got somebody genuine there, is when they make that contact, you see these changes, you see these little things, and you know, sometimes they're small and sometimes they're not. I mean, I've seen some pretty drastic changes come about when a trans medium makes contact.
Well, the Reverend Plume could see spirits on. In fact, I was dating a guy at the time that I took with me the first night that we went to that church, that little strip mall church. Mm-hmm. And the Reverend looked at Stuart, the guy I was with, and he said, "You can see all the spirits standing in this room the same as I can, can't you?" And I mean, this was nothing we had talked about. And he looked around the room and nodded. And my mother had died when I was 21 and 7.5 months pregnant. It was really, really difficult for me. She was only 47. And he had seen my mother around me. The guy was dating had seen my mother with me, you know. And the Reverend Plume said my mother didn't realize she was dead when she was dead. And 12 hours after she died, I heard her call my name, you know, and I'd already been to the mortuary to choose a casket, and I knew her body was there, so I knew that she was on the other side. Mm-hmm. But, so, you know, when I look back over my life, there was just lots of things that I just thought everybody could see all this stuff and see nature spirits and see spirits and things like that. I just thought everyone could do it, and you know, I was in my late 20s before I realized not everybody could.
Yeah, and that's typical of, you know, young children who are just, you know, realizing, you know, that they have these abilities and stuff. You know, so most of the time, you know, they think everybody else has them too, and it's just real unique how that is an influence on you and a shock on you when you realize that, hey, you know, how come I'm the only one seeing these? I thought everybody else could too.
Well, I always felt, for instance, I think I was meant to bring this guy to that church so mm-hmm. I could put him in touch with his destiny. I've often wondered over the years if he ever became a medium and helped people, you know. I don't know. He asked me to marry him, and I said no, and that was kind of the end of that, you know.
Well, all right.
But he was really a nice guy, but not for me.
Well, on the marriage note, we're going to break away here for our first break of the evening. Everyone tuning in, please stay tuned. We will be back here in a few moments, so Just stick with us, guys. We'll see you shortly.
Just go away. Ghost Chatter will return in just a few moments.
This is Dr. Dave from the Dr. X Show. Join me Sundays at 5 p.m. Eastern for some great music, conversation, and a good time. Hope to see you there.
Do you believe in ghosts? Do you hear strange noises? See apparitions in the shadows or things moving out of the corner of your eye? If you do, you are not alone. Texas Paranormal Research is a professional, federally registered, nonprofit organization that specializes in investigating paranormal activity. If you're experiencing activity and need someone to turn to, we're here for you. Our founder and lead investigator has over 14 years' experience investigating the paranormal and experienced in using equipment such as night vision cameras, digital and analog recorders, motion sensors, laser tracking systems, and thermal imaging systems. Our services are free of charge, and your case is treated strictly confidential. Contact us to discuss your case at www.tprt.org or email help@tprt.org. Texas Paranormal Research, helping those affected by the paranormal, one ghost at a time.
Whether you need help putting together your event, looking for a celebrity, or just want to pump up the excitement, look no further than Ideal Event Management. Ideal Event Management is a top-rated paranormal events organizer. They also represent some of the biggest names and personalities in the paranormal community. Contact Mark at 413-478-3642 or check out their website at idealeventmanagement.com.
Is the Wild West getting too wild? Are those laid to rest getting restless? Don't let the unexplained stay unexplained. For a discreet, professional investigation of your paranormal phenomena, contact Sonoram Paranormal Investigations, serving all of the state of Arizona. Find us on the web at sonoranparanormal.com. Sonoran Paranormal is a proud member of the TAPS Family Network.
Yes? Hi, I'm here for the New York Ghost Tour.
Sorry, we're closed. But you can come back next week.
Next week? Forget that. I'll just go check out another place.
Trust me, there's no place half as interesting as ours, dear.
That's so not true. What about the Shanley Hotel in Napanock?
Once you've been to one haunted hotel, you've been to them all.
Not like this place. The Shanley Hotel dates back to 1845, and since then it's been a hotspot for paranormal activity. Mysterious music, smells, whistling, doors opening, footsteps, almost everything you can imagine has been experienced at that hotel.
It's open to the public?
Absolutely. Sal and Cindy, the owners of the hotel, welcome people for regular stays or investigations, and their rates are beyond reasonable. They even offer workshops and in-house psychics.
How did you learn about this place?
By visiting www.shanleyhotel.com. You can get history, investigation info, and much more.
Thanks, I think I will. Just don't tell any of our customers.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para-X.
Now we turn to the Ghost Chatter.
Hello, everyone. This is Jimmy with Ghost Chatter. We are back from our break, and we are back with our special guest tonight, Patricia McLean. Welcome back, Patricia.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Okay, before the break, we talked a little bit about you, and you gave us some background on growing up and things like that. I had a couple questions, and then I wanted to talk a little bit about your new book that you have.
Okay.
One of the questions that I had for you is, during the time you were growing up, I know you said, like, when you were around 9 years old, your grandmother, I believe, had said that, you know, you were going to be a medium. From that point on, I'm sorry. Did you have a lot of support from your family for that ability?
No. My mother just dismissed that, like Aunt Say didn't know what she was talking about.
The reason why...
And see, my mother died when I was 21.
Okay.
So I didn't become a practicing psychic till I was 29.
I see.
And and my father... my parents were divorced before I was born. Okay. And my father was never a big presence in my life. So, but, you know, he was very religious type of person.
Mm-hmm.
But he believed in... When I was a little girl and we got to know each other, he wanted me to be a Vestal Virgin for the Rosicrucian Order. And I thought that was kind of weird. But, you know, I guess I'm a bit of a Vestal Virgin anyway. You know, like it or not. But... No, he and my stepmother were Rosicrucians, so they believed in reincarnation and that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but no, I got support from friends, but it's really kind of tough being a woman in my business and being able to size people up the way I do. Mm-hmm. It's not great for a girl's love life. You know,
I can see that.
Men get really freaked out by some woman who knows, you know, I dated a doctor for a while, a psychiatrist, and the phone would ring, and I'd say, you better get that, that's a new patient, and it would be, and it just kind of blew him away, you know.
Yeah, all secrets go out the window after that one, so.
Right,
yeah.
It's very hard, although I'm no good with my own family or my own friends. My close friends I do not read for, because your biases and prejudices and
exactly.
You know what you think about that person gets in the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true on so many different levels, not and you know just for psychics and things like that, for sure. And I know people that are empathic who experience the same thing. You know, they can read everyone else easy, but if it's them or anything to do with them, then you know they can't see that clearly. They don't sense that the way they do if it's like a stranger.
You cannot read for yourself.
I agree.
I thought I was going to save all this money when I started reading cards. Yep. That I was going to save all this money. I wouldn't have to go to readers anymore. Nope, doesn't work.
Yep.
Look at the cards, and they're just cards, you know.
Yep.
And so it doesn't work with people that you're really close to.
Yep. So those of you out there who have ever went to a psychic and said, you know, if they were for real, you know, they would have got themselves the own lottery number. So it doesn't work that way. You don't get things for yourself. You just don't
I
see
wish
them.
I could. I've told a few people they were going to win the lottery, and they did, but they never won the big one. They just won small ones.
All right, let's talk a little bit about your book. And I wish I'd have got this copy of this book sooner. I just got the copy today. It's an awesome-looking book, and I've thumbed through just a couple things. The book is called Cosmic Conspiracy. So tell us a little bit about this book and why you wrote this.
Well, I felt like it was a cosmic conspiracy that I got roped into doing this work because I've done it in all honesty, I've done it kicking and screaming, you know, really done it kicking and screaming, because it's very hard to deal with, because people don't come to a psychic because everything's hunky-dory. There's always some kind of problem going on, and you're supposed to tell them how it's going to turn out. So that's part of the cosmic conspiracy of it. I felt that it wasn't what I really wanted to do, and yet I'm very gifted. I'm very clairvoyant. I have a very fine degree of intuition, and I've been able to, you know, and he said the rich and famous, and when I was working at that time in my life, I was a secretary at 20th Century Fox Studios in West Los Angeles, and I made friends with actors, producers, directors, writers, and so some of these people were even my guinea pigs. One of my best friends was Susan Strasberg, who passed away in 1999, and she became the Kabbalistic godmother of my children. So, I mean, through Susan, I began to meet all these celebrities and everything, and, you know, Shirley MacLaine used to have readings. I haven't read for her since the 1990s. Goldie Hawn had her last reading a year or two ago. She's been my client since 1971, and I did, you know, my clients are from all walks of life, but it's been a really interesting trip, you know, even though I think sometimes destiny picks us rather than us picking destiny, wouldn't you say?
I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
You probably never planned to be a Ghostbuster yep. or whatever.
And that sometimes works the other way around too. You know, I think
right.
I think destiny. You know, it's like a battery. To me, destiny is a battery, and it's got a positive end and a negative end. And you know, sometimes either or finds you. And probably I have a daughter. I actually named her Destiny, and it was probably because of that.
Well, you know, I was so surprised because in the beginning I read for my friends and I read for my family members when I first started. And they were some of my guinea pigs and then the people at the studio. But a friend that I read for, all these different psychics were telling me that I could do what they did. And I had cabin fever one Saturday. I didn't have a date. And everyone I called had previous plans. And I even called people in my phone book I didn't really want to see. And I couldn't find anybody to do anything with, and I had this cabin fever, you know. So all these psychics had been saying, oh, you could do what I do. You could do it better than I do. And I thought they were nuts, you know. How could I do that? So I went over to the liquor store, and I bought a bottle of Chablis. I bought a carton of cigarettes, and I bought a deck of playing cards because I didn't even own one. And from like 9 o'clock that night till 3 in the morning, I probably drank half the bottle of wine and went through a whole pack of cigarettes burning up in the ashtray because I still smoke then. I haven't smoked for 30 years. But, and one of the friends who had been by, who I called the night before, said, well, I can do something with you tomorrow. She knew I had, you know, I was going nuts. I was in a state of wanting to get out. So she came by and I said, you know, I had played with the cards, laying them this way and that, and I said, sit down, I'm going to read your cards. And I thought it was just a game I was going to play. Well, she was dating a motorcycle policeman, and I had a vision during the time I was reading her cards. She had 4 kids. I told her about her kids. Mm-hmm. I told her about her job. I told her about lots of different things. And I suddenly, I had this vision, and I said, in my mind, and I said, her motorcycle cop boyfriend, I said, you better tell Howard to be careful. He could be chasing a motorist, speeding motorist on his bike. And he could go through an intersection with an oil slick, and that bike could go out from under him, and he could break his arm or his shoulder or something like that. You know, I said, you've got to warn him to be careful. This was a Sunday afternoon. Thursday night, Carol calls me. You're not going to believe this. Howard's in the hospital with a broken arm and a broken collarbone and fractured ribs. She said his bike went out from under him, just like you said, he was trying to chase a speeding motorist. So, I mean, I went, oh my God, it was one of those moments. I thought I was making it up. You know, I thought I was pretending. I thought I was making it up. And then I started reading for the people at the studio, and I started telling them things. For 6 months, I gave free readings as serving my apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And everybody was coming back and saying, well, you told me my brother-in-law is going to have a heart attack. He had a heart attack. He nearly died. He's only 44, you know. So, I mean, people kept coming back and telling me different things. I mean, a lot of the secretaries at the studio wanted to be in show business, you know. And this one pretty brunette, I said, I see you getting off and on planes, off and on planes. And she came back to the studio to tell me that she had gotten a job with one of the local TV stations in traffic control, and she was on and off of helicopters flying over the LA freeways,
wow.
You know, telling people what the traffic was like. So, I mean, I just kept, and I'm still flabbergasted when people call me and say, well, you know, that happened, you know. So, it just, one of those fluky things, you know.
Well, you're definitely.
And my grandchildren told me, when my 4 older grandkids are in their 20s, and as they got older, We would go to lunch or dinner in different numbers. There's four of them, and sometimes it'd be all of them, sometimes just a couple. And I started telling them some of the stories about my life. And they were the ones who said, Grandma, you've lived such a unique life. You need to write a book. So that's why I wrote my memoir.
Well, you're definitely well-known when it comes to psychic readings out there. And just for everyone who is tuning in, both on the air and out in the chat room, want to let you guys know that Patricia has been gracious enough to offer to do a couple of mini readings here before the end of the show. And we will get to those here in the next few minutes. So just be prepared, any of you who would like to get a mini reading, be prepared here in the next few minutes, and we'll get that underway. On your book, Patricia, what do you think would... This book, as I thumb through it, this is like a collection of stories of people you've read, correct?
Well, some of it's people I've read. Mm-hmm. Some of them are cloaked and, you know, are not identified. Some are identified. One of my author clients said, you have to talk about your celebrities to sell books. Mm-hmm. So I did, you know. But I've read for people from all walks of life, from every religion. My clients are Hindus and Muslims and Buddhists and Jews and Protestants and Catholics and pagans, and they come from every possible country and every walk of life, you know, which I find really fascinating and interesting. It's been a good education for me to work with these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in reincarnation, and I have my concepts are much more universal. I probably drive my family nuts. My daughter's a minister. Her husband's a minister. And, you know, I don't believe traditionally. I mean, I look at Jesus as one of my masters, but I don't believe in the traditional pattern of religion. But I don't know. You know, it's been really, really interesting. And then clients would move away and they'd say, why don't you come and visit me in Texas, for instance? A client moved to Dallas. Come to Dallas and read for my friends here. Come to Washington and read for my friends here. Come to London and read for my friends there, you know. And, of course, my first book came out in 1991 with Llewellyn. It was called The Wheel of Destiny. And I have three books, actually. But I did the BBC, you know. I went to clients, gave me names in Hong Kong and Singapore. I went to Singapore, I did readings. I went to Bali, I did readings. I went to Hong Kong and I was on the radio and all these people flocked to me for readings. And so I've just been very fortunate, you know.
Now I read, I think it was in your book, where I was glancing through, or it was on the preface that came with the book, about... apparently you gave a reading to the ex-president Ronald Reagan
I did not read for Ronald Reagan.
Oh.
I did not read for Ronald Reagan. The story on that is when I was a secretary at 20th Century Fox, uh-huh. which I think Ronald Reagan worked at that station a time or two. The first show I worked on was called The Legend of Jesse James, and it had a saloon set, and they used to have the rap parties on the saloon set for each segment they shot. Well, when I was working at Fox, I voted for Ronald Reagan as governor of California. It was 1967. I had only been doing readings a few months. And for some reason that night, I didn't usually stay up that late because I had to go to work the next day, but I stayed up, listened to Johnny Carson's monologue. I love Johnny Carson. I miss him still. I think he's a great comic. And Ronald Reagan was sworn in at midnight. We didn't find out till many years later. It was because of an astrologer, right? But I watched the swearing-in ceremony of Ronald Reagan, and I had a vision, like I had with Howard in the motorcycle. Behind Ronald Reagan, I saw the White House, the Capitol building, and the seal of the President of the United States. And that was 1967. And then, about a year later, I had a dream about Ronald Reagan. And I was on the saloon set for a rap party. And Ronald Reagan walked in his cowboy shoes and his cowboy boots and his jeans and his Western hat, put his foot up on the railing and smiled. And I said, "Do you want to know something?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "One day you're going to be President of the United States." He said, "You know, I think I'd like that." And yeah, that was my dream. And so then in 1976, you know, the years were passing, and I thought, he better hurry up and be president, or he'll be too old. And, of course, he was 70 when he became president, yep, but he always looked young, and I'm sure he colored his hair and all that, these actors. But when my first trip to Washington was during the Ford years, because I read for Sheila Weidenfeld, who was Betty Ford's press secretary. I read for her in California, but she invited me to be her guest in Washington, and that was my first trip to D.C. And I read for Jack Ford, as she paid for a bunch of readings for her staff. I had lunch in the White House twice. I got a private tour of the White House because she invited me. I told her that Carter was going to win, and she invited me to the White House Mess, which is a restaurant in the White House where the senators and congressmen and everyone eat on occasion. And I stayed in Georgetown with her and her husband, and he was a prominent Republican lawyer, and she was, you know, Betty Ford's press secretary. She wrote a book called First Lady's Lady that I'm in that came out in 1980. But at dinner one night, she and her husband, you know, were talking, okay, now Carters are going to move into the White House, Fords are going to move out. And Ed turns to me, her husband, and he says, "Who's going to be the next president?" And I said, "Ronald Reagan." I knew he had to be. He had to be. It was getting really late. And so they were amused by that. And then I used to go to their house almost yearly and do readings in Washington and stay with them and read for all their important Washington people. And it turned out that Sheila's father, Maxwell Rabb, was Ronald Reagan's campaign manager.
Wow.
And so because of that, Sheila said that I was on her transition team for the Reagan-Bush years. And I sort of was, but behind the scenes, you know. And I got these certificates from the president, vice president, thanking me for working on the transition team. And they had no idea, because I actually predicted, long before the Republican National Convention, I predicted it will be Reagan and Bush by a landslide, two terms for Reagan, one term for Bush.
Wow.
And I was absolutely right. You know? So those stories are in a chapter called Stars in the White House.
Okay, just don't tell me who's going to be our next one.
I
don't want to be sad or happy or anything like that right now. So.
You don't want to get upset.
That's right. But, hey, I do want to get in and maybe get a mini reading or two done here, since we're kind of creeping out of time.
Okay, well, can I tell people what to do?
Absolutely. You have the air.
If they're going to have a mini reading, I want the people out there to think of a question that could possibly be answered yes or no. No what questions, but yes or no questions. You know, because if people want to know, should I do this or that, if they say, should I do this, it eliminates that.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be a specific question that they think of mentally. And then I want them to pick three numbers between 0 and 21. And when they come on the air, I'll take their three numbers and give them a little mini reading from that.
All right. Guys, everyone tuning in out there, I hope you caught all that. What she'd like for you to do is think of a yes or no question. something that you need a yes or no answer to, and a number between 0 and 21. And
no, three numbers.
I'm sorry. Three numbers three between numbers. 0. See, I can't even follow directions. See, that's why I had to repeat it, because if I can't follow
it's
them...
It's retrograde Mercury.
That's right. They can't follow them either. So pick three numbers between 0 and 21, and give us a call here at Ghost Chatter. The number to call here is 325-200-4512. Again, the call-in number is 325-200-4512. And for everyone who is listening out in the chat room, I will put this out there for you guys as well, even though you're hearing me as I speak. And we'll get that out there for everyone. So we'll sit here and we'll wait for the phone lines to ring in. And I
okay.
think...
I did the chat room beat them.
All right, welcome to Ghost Chatter.
Hi.
Hi, hello. What's your name?
Hi, I'm Alisa.
Alisa? Hi, Alisa. What's your three numbers?
4, 5, and 7.
Ooh, you have any confrontations with anyone recently?
Confrontations? Oh, on a daily basis.
Well, you want to watch your temper right now, because we have this Mars-Pluto square going on in the heavens, and it makes people a little crazed. It's been, it hit exactly on Monday, and it's driven orb. So watch, you know, but I get really big, dramatic change for you. Are you thinking of a move at all, or are you thinking of a remodel or anything like that?
Well, I'm trying to change careers.
You want to do a career change. Does your career, or will the new career have a lot to do with dealing with people, talking to people a lot?
I'm not really sure, because I'm not really sure exactly what I'll be able to change to, but probably, maybe.
Anything to do with real estate or property or anything like that?
Not that I'm expecting, but the way I could change careers, it could be in many different industries, so it would be hard to say.
It could be something that caters to the home or helps build homes or does something like that with real estate. I think you need more power or authority than you've had, and I think you can be very diplomatic dealing with people. Now, you have a gift. You have a gift for that. I would say you have a yes answer to your question. So if you're looking for, is it because you're looking for a change?
Yes, definitely.
I think by June, July.
Okay.
Very possibly by June, July.
Well, that's very encouraging. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
Have a good night.
Thank you, Alisa. Do you have another one?
There was a couple that were in, but they dropped off, so we're going
to... They were ghostly images that faded from view.
All right, we seem like... have lost our guests, so let's see if we can get them back on here.
Hi, this is Patty McLean. Please leave your name, your number, and a...
Okay, we'll try that again, guys. We'll get her back on here in just a second.
Hi, what happened? The line went dead.
I think when I was trying to switch over the call, I think I dropped you by mistake. So I have to...
Oh, that's all right. I'll forgive you.
I can't blame this on the phone company or anybody. It was my own clumsy mistake.
And I think Alisa will get more money than she's been getting, too. I should have told her that.
Yeah, and, you know, I think you were pretty good on Alisa. I actually know who that person is that called in, and I thought it was real interesting. You said the... June, July thing, because you know, she's actually a teacher, and that is when her
a summer job.
Yeah, well, that's when her kind of contract, yearly contract as a teacher ends, is right around the end of May, 1st of June, and So that was.
Does she teach elementary school?
Yes, I think she does elementary, junior high.
Yeah, okay. Okay, do we have another caller yet?
We are checking right now. I've got the phone line back open now. I've got time for one more reading. If anybody wants to call in, 325-200-4512. And I hope I didn't mess up the switchboard for the calls that were coming in. So, those of you who had
tried... I just sat here and waited. I didn't know whether to call the number or just to wait, so I waited.
So, got time for one more reading, guys. 325-200-4512. If anyone who is out in the chat room is trying to get in and you can't get through, be sure to let me know out in the chat room, because I may have messed up the switch deal there when I cut them off.
Do you want me to do a question for you, Jimmy?
You know, actually, I do. And I guess I have to think of three numbers.
Have to think of a yes or no question. Give me three numbers between 0 and 21.
How about 3, 9, and 15?
Well, there's confusion for one thing. Is this about your ghost work?
Actually, in a way, it is.
Okay, because T18 in the tarot is Pisces, and that's, you know, the unconscious and the Neptunian ghostly kind of stuff. Is this to do with teaching at all, or writing?
Yes, it is. Kind of a little bit of both.
It seems like you'll be teaching and you'll be writing, but you'll also have maybe a new teacher yourself, one or two people that come into your life that you learn from, and one of the people could be quite a bit older.
Okay.
Like a gentleman maybe with light, you know, gray or white hair. And I just think you need more quiet time to do what you want to do, but you have a yes answer.
Okay.
You have a yes answer, but you need to reorganize your time, I think, so you can find the time to do this. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Is there a trip to the north?
There actually is a trip, and this is
anything to New England? Anything to take you to New England or the Boston area?
To Pennsylvania as a project that we're working
that
on right
direction.
Now.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, Philadelphia and I could bet they have a lot of haunted places around there. All the history and everything. Yeah, I think you'll be doing some traveling. I would say something will take you to the desert. Something will take you to the north. And the east, north, northeast is really strong. And then also, I think you should take some time off at some point with your family and just go put your feet in the ocean or something.
Well, that would be a good thing, too. But, wow. You really hit a couple of those right on. And, you know, you're definitely the real deal.
Yeah, I think. And also, part of this thing that you're asking about, you kind of... It's like, try not to get too overly serious.
Mm-hmm.
Try to keep your sense of humor about it. Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, because there's someone around you who's a bit of a pain.
Absolutely.
Someone you're dealing with professionally perhaps is a bit of a pain.
Absolutely.
The only way to deal there is to be as objective as possible and keep your sense of humor.
Well, I appreciate that. I definitely will. And like I said, that you have no idea how you hit a lot of things on there. You know, the question I had definitely had something to do with where I'm going with my paranormal future. And I really appreciate that reading, because that,
I think something will actually take you to Boston in time, too, way up north.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now. That is the next project on the slate, is actually slated for the East Coast. And it's kind of in the Pennsylvania up to Massachusetts area, so I expect to be up there in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I think you will. I think you will. And maybe any time from June to September. Probably want to hightail it back to Texas for the winter. They had a really bad winter up there this year.
Yeah, that's what I heard. They had it really good. But down here in Texas, you know, we don't have nothing. We're so dry down here. We're in like the seventh year of drought.
I know. What's that? How's that fire doing? They still have that fire going?
Yeah, they're working about 14 different fires just in Central Texas right now.
Oh my goodness!
We had a little lightning storm that came through. Really didn't dump any rain, just a lot of lightning, and it sparked fires everywhere.
Oh, that's too bad. I read about that. Yeah.
Well, Patricia, before we run completely
somewhere and put your feet in the ocean.
Amen to that one. But before we run out of time here, I want to give you a chance to tell everyone where they can go to pick up your books.
Okay. My website is www.patriciamclaine.com. That's MCLAINE. My books, all three of my books, and my play actually is on Amazon too. One of my plays, one play was published in 1961, the year my son was born, and I still get royalty checks twice a year, so it's really great. But Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and people could call me at 703-373-7353 or get my phone number from the website if they want to get an autographed copy. And the memoir sells for $18.98. Media mail, it's $22.30, or if they want priority envelope, it's $24.
Yeah, and for those of you, you know, I'm looking at a copy of the book right here. You know, this is a good-sized book. This isn't a little thin book. This is bigger than most of your paperbacks that you see. You know, this is the size of what you would find in your yeah. hardcover books, and
it's 418 pages. It's not a small book.
No, it is not, and this is a lot of reading. This is definitely going to be worth the money.
It's pretty large print, you know, for older eyes. But I'm getting really great responses on my website on the Books by Patty page. If they want to go read some of the reviews that people have given me, because one of my clients said, "My God, your book should be a three-part HBO movie." She said, "I loved every page of it." She's been my client about 15 years, so that was kind of nice to hear. You know.
Well, Patricia, I can't wait to read it, and just want to say for anyone who is tuning in to the show tonight, if you missed any part of it, I will have the show available on the Parex Radio On Demand section. I will also make this into a podcast that can be downloaded at www.ghostchatter.podomatic.com. That should be available by tomorrow. So if you missed any part of this or need to come back and get any of the information that we've talked about here, you can do so from either one of those places, or you can email me at jimmy@ghostchatterradio.com. Well, Patricia, thank you very, very much for taking the time to be here with us tonight. I really appreciated it. It's been a great interview. You're just a tremendous source of information, and you know, it's always nice to get someone on who, you know, you knows the real deal, and you're definitely the real deal, Patricia.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. It's really been a pleasure to be on with you. It's been lovely to meet you.
You too, and we look forward to talking to you again here in the very near future, and I will let you know once I can get through this book. I mean, I'm sure it's going to be awesome just from what I've seen, but I definitely want to try to keep in touch with you in the future.
Thank you. There's a lot of laughter in the book, too.
Well, that's good. That's what makes a good read, when there's things in there that keep you lighthearted.
Okay.
All right, Patricia, thank you, and you have a good evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right, everyone, that was Patricia McLean. Awesome lady. Awesome books. She's been doing this for over 40 years. She's one of the best well-known psychics. She's actually, when you go through her book, she's actually cataloged over 40,000 clients that she's actually read. And, you know, you don't do that many without being the real deal. So if you get a chance, be sure to check her out. www.patriciamclain.com, PatriciaMClaine. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to Ghost Chatter. I just want to say a quick shout-out to a few of the people out in the chat room. Got CC, Scott, Henry, Jody, Rusty, Irish, Chris, Kat, Alicia, Gina, Marie. You guys, awesome for being here. Thank you for tuning in and supporting the show. Look forward to seeing you guys here next week on Ghost Chatter. Good night.
The gateway between normal and paranormal close, and Ghost Chatter begins to fade away. But when the will of the living and the departed is strong enough to break through the barriers, Ghost Chatter will be heard once again. Your host, Jimmy Morris, welcomes you back next week when Ghost Chatter returns on the Para-X Radio Network.
This has been a production of the Para-X Radio Network.